Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome back. This is Elder V. Welcome to the Blueprint for Life, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. I want to apologize. We had to do two different segments. It seems that somehow or another that the other show was reduced, or the other lesson, first part of the lesson, we were cut off for the first 15 minutes. And I caught myself rushing to try and squeeze some things in. As it pertains to the commandments, laws, and some health topics, and never did get a chance to get into the lesson or to the reading of the laws on this particular Shabbat. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it. I'm sorry about that. But we'll just go ahead and pick up from where we left off. If you didn't hear the first part, you pretty much know how we generally start off. And I would love for you to hear some of the things we talked about, health topics. I did kind of rush through. Before we get into the lesson and the laws, I kind of rushed through a lot of the things that are happening in the earth right now, and we're going to find ourselves not only having our lesson and reading the laws on this day, but catching up with Bible prophecy being fulfilled at such a rapid pace all around us on a daily basis. Satan is scurrying because he knows he's out of time. And he's promoting Satanism throughout the earth in modern culture, making it popular to be a Satanist. He's gone from pushing humanism, which we fight against, to flat-out Satanism. No other way to say it. Flat-out darkness. Do what thou wilt, lasciviousness, homosexuality, fornication, good is evil, evil is good. It's just all around us now, and it's almost impossible for our children to escape it and survive it, because the things that we've taught them to do that we thought was innocent, such as watch TV and listen to music, and enjoy some of the things around them, to have half a life is like just, it has an effect on them too much. There's ways that they're being bombarded, which is far beyond, as far as protecting themselves, it's far beyond their means. If they have no source of spirituality, of coming to know the Father, being baptized and keeping these laws and commandments, their vibration is off. They've been taught to get high and have sex. Elementary kids, elementary school aged children think of nothing but sex. Man, that is perverted. This society is gone. We've gone beyond transhumanism with what's being done to people. When you look at the chemtrails in the sky, I don't think people realize the magnitude of what they have imputed upon this earth. When you walk out your door just to go to work or go to school, what you're breathing is not just bad air. You're breathing in living organisms that are mimicking flu symptoms, but actually you're breathing in organisms that will begin to change your DNA structure as things are coming alive inside your body, nanobots and nanites and poisons and toxins that are actually stripping people of their humanism. And those that do not know how to eat properly and synthesize themselves with the earth and what the Most High has given, don't know how to detox, won't survive if they're eating this stuff that's meant to kill them. Now, we serve a Most High that can heal, protect, and cover, and he's doing that. But he said his people that are called by his name, the ones that are marked, the ones that keep the commandments, the ones that keep the Sabbath, that are in tune with the Spirit, that talks to them, that talks to us and tells us what to do and what not to do, you will stand. You will survive. We talked about that in the first show. Psalms 91:1. makes it clear. The book of Revelations makes it clear. Those that will be stamped in their foreheads that keep the commandments. Which is why, man, don't let your Christian church and pastor tell you the commandments are done away with. They're trying to take you to hell because they're in league with the government. 501c3 churches are in league with the government, not allowed to preach the gospel, the truth, and to tell people that you're going to hell if you are living a homosexual lifestyle, and to preach against these policies and politics. They can't do it because they'll take away their funding, their money, and put a lot of them in jail, and they don't want to see that happen. You don't give money. We're going to talk about this giving thing too later, but you don't go to a church to give money to get a tax write-off because this tax system is a joke. Your taxes don't go towards your government. They're paying the elite. It's going to the Federal Reserve. You're nothing but a commodity, and you're being traded on the stock. You don't even know that you have rights as a living person through this earth to not be a part of this corporation and have to give into it or its laws. But we haven't learned any common sense. That's why they consider us sheeple and useless eaters, because most people are brainwashed and asleep through propaganda and media. They do as they see and as they're told. If you don't come back into the statutes, laws, and commandments, this word, and wake up, you will be destroyed in this earth system. You've got people that are catching a disease called Morgellons disease, where nanites and nanobots and robots and hybrid pests are coming out of their bodies, and they're carving these things out of their bodies, and these things are electricity and energy pushes these things. Could you imagine the things that we're breathing can be controlled by computers and electricity, and it's inside of you? And then you want to go get a chip as well? Oh, yeah, you'll get a chip if you're going to be under Obamacare. You will be chipped. You will ask to be chipped because you want identity protection. You'll ask to be chipped because you'll want your paycheck to be on your chip and your health records and everything else. I won't. There is so much happening so rapidly, you better know that the Messiah is on his way back and they're trembling. They think they have enough arsenal to fight against him and the ones in the earth that will be transformed when he returns and that will fight with him. But there's not enough arsenal because all my Messiah has to do is speak a word. We're going to take this earth back and clean this earth up. We're breathing in so much radiation right now, not to mention the chemtrails on top of the radiation from Fukushima. And the foods we're eating and the poisoning of the water, it's only by grace that many of you are standing right now. And I pray that you will continue to stand and be strong in this hour, because the things that are getting ready to be unleashed upon the earth are going to frighten a lot of you into straight heart attacks. I'm not a fear monger because I don't operate under fear. I'm looking for the day where hopefully I'll be chosen to be a warrior within this battle, as I'm doing right now, prophesying into the wind boldly with no fear in my heart about the fact that it's over the airwaves and they can hear me, because they know that people like us exist who will stand and fight and will not succumb to this modern day culture, this world, this society, or what they dictate. I don't need you. I don't need it. I will never sell out. There's nothing that this world has in the way of the form of their riches that can satisfy me, occupy me, and cause me to be as content as my relationship with the Most High and his word and his commandments. That's all I need. My Father's rich. He owns all of this. Not even Satan can operate in this world without his permission. He's operating within the Most High's judicial system under allowance, but his time is short. And you'll see that Satan himself, the one that's pulling the strings behind the scenes, getting people to sell out on a daily basis, is nothing more than the man like in the movie The Oz, some little coward behind the scenes pulling strings. Do I think these people don't have power, these fallen angels that will be released, the ones that slept with the daughters of men in the book of Genesis? Yeah, these people are strong. It took Michael and Gabriel to to overcome these angels and these demons. These spirits are strong. But as long as you have this relationship with the Father, Isaiah 54 and 17 says that no weapon formed against us can prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us, we shall condemn. And greater is that is in us than anything in the world. In 2 Corinthians 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of the power of Ahaya and not of ourselves. We'll cast down and never destroyed. You go on and read it and see what it says. Count it all joy as we go through. So I rejoice in the midst of all these things, but I speak with this kind of urgency because we're so busy saying, oh, we the people, and putting on this garb. Some of us got the Star of Moloch and all this stuff, and we're going to start David and copying these Jewish Khazars and trying to keep their festival and feast days and trying to be like them. But a lot of our people aren't coming into the knowledge of having the power and the relationship with the Most High. They're too busy trying to have 4, 5, 6 wives and getting caught up into adultery and fornication, but not drawing closer to the Father to the point of being numb to what this world is dictating. I applaud you for going out preaching and prophesying in the street, but are you drawing closer to the Father? You know, so many of us want to be so opposite from the Christian church that we go too far away from what it represents, because we had tabernacles. And although our body is the temple of the Ruach right now, we still are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is where the tabernacle and the gatherings, the fellowships and the camps come from, because we've been told to come together, raise money, take care of each other, talk, plan. And that's where these 501c3s came about, because they wanted to take control of the gatherings so that we wouldn't assemble and have power and come together. You don't need a 501c3 to operate as an elder, preacher, pastor, teacher, minister. And don't think that the fivefold calling's been done away with because some clown who says I'm a Hebrew Israelite up in north is saying that it's done away with because he's reading the Gnostic Gospels that were created and has his mind all warped. And he probably can't even cast a flea off a dog's back. Christ walked on the scene, and the man that was full of demons fell to his knees. Now, if you're like our Messiah, can you walk into a room and demons recognize that the power of the Ruach is inside of you and all the mysteries of the world lie inside of you? Nah, because you're too busy trying to find out how much you don't have to do to be close to him or to be an all-star with this knowledge. Knowledge causes man to be puffed up. It was Satan in the garden that brought forth knowledge and said, oh, yeah, the Most High been keeping knowledge back from you. Eat this fruit. I'm going to put you up on game. And a lot of you ate the fruit. You know, that's what y'all do in modern day time. So I'm not so caught up in everybody that's like saying, I got this new revelation and trying to teach a revelation and teach these lessons saying, check this out. You know, because the Masons and the Shriners, they are speaking the same game in their temples about knowledge. Each level, more knowledge, expose you to more. Man, how about your humility and your humbleness and the fruits of the Ruach and the power of Ahaya in your life? Because it's going to come anyway if you draw closer to him. Do you study to show yourself approved and know these precepts? These are the things that we have to take into consideration that we don't take into consideration. That's why a lot of us use our physical strength to try to intimidate. But when you speak, man, there should be so much power in your speaking these commandments and this living word that people bow down, surrender, fall down, find tears, repent, draw closer to the Most High. And that's the time it is right there. And you need to ask yourself, are you there? In the laws, we find that rejoicing is necessary. In the book of Deuteronomy, we were told to rejoice during all of our feasts and festivals. We're to rejoice, and we find a lot of you Hebrew Israelites, as it is, that's nothing but a title, and we hate titles because it's like Christianity. And we weren't Christians. The Greeks called the apostles that because they were followers of Christ, but that was a word that they heaped upon the people and is only used about 3 times in the New Testament. Not no Christians. It's a word that they imputed upon us. We are disciples who discipline our lives after the commandments of the Most High. and we go out and make more disciples.
The reason I talk about rejoicing is because a lot of people that wake up into who we are try and be diametrically opposed and fight so hard against the Christian church that they take away a lot of the things that are still necessary that can come into handy. Like, yeah, we need to have our music. Scripture said sing songs. We must minister to each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We used to prophesy through songs. We used to prophesy with instruments. Now the music is so messed up because everybody wants to copy the world. But the music needs to come back, and we still, David danced out of his clothes. So I ain't saying shout and roll in the ground like they do in these churches, because that is the spirit of Bacchus, as they did in the temples during Constantine's time, where after they would play music in the temple, they would have orgies and sex and things like that. And a lot of that goes on in these Christian churches. People get aroused with their praise and worship, but they're not being transformed or changed, and it's not true worship. To our praise to the Most High, because worship is a lifestyle and how you live your life and how you submit yourself to these commandments. And praise is to give him accolades. In all thy ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. So when you give him praise for every aspect and every triumph in your life, and you acknowledge his presence in everything that you have been successful in or everything you're doing, you know, that's giving him praise. But see, my goal here right now is to let you know that I will not allow a lot of you to kill our people from rejoicing and look down upon those that know how to enjoy the music to find solace. Because what are you going to do? What other replacement do you have as far as something that will lift your spirits in the form of music? You know, that's something. We are a people that are rejoiceful, but we have to find a place and how to do it, which is what we did in the tabernacles. And when we came together, we would sing, and this ministers to us. We communicate through song. So even in Deuteronomy, before I go even further with that, let me read Deuteronomy 16 and 14 real quick, because that's a topic that's near and dear to my heart, because being a musician myself, it has always been a form of escape for me to be able to sing and to play and watch others rejoice or watch them rejoice, because I saw what I read, and then I'll tell you about what I saw, but I read what David did in the scriptures. As he played, that spirit in Saul was chased away. He would call for David to play because of the Kodesh, we used to say the anointing, the Mashiach upon his playing, Mashiach is not correct, but I'll just say anointing upon his playing. He could play until demons came out of people, and there were priests that played and prophesied as they played when the spirit came upon them. So we got great musicians within Israel that can play until your spirit is calm. Music soothes the savage beast. And a lot of you are beasts because you're full of demons. And so music can be a precursor to casting out these demons in your life. Demons are real, brothers and sisters, very real. They mask themselves as sickness. And now they're coming, like we just got through talking about, through the foods and the chemtrails, because sickness is demon spirits, are demon spirits. Diseases are demon spirits within you. Taking vaccinations is taking demons, putting them inside you, because they're trying to invade your temple, your body, and take you over and incapacitate you to the point where you're weak. So let me get back to my point at hand as far as music, because I see a lot of us that are so against the Christian church. We'll see people playing the music, and a lot of our best musicians, some of our best musicians are in that Christian church. The ones in the world on these records, man, have sold their souls to Satan, sold out, not singing about anything, can't play their real music, got people writing for them. Not to say that at one point they weren't talented musicians, but a lot of them, we lose them. We lost Whitney Houston, and she wanted to try to come back, but she couldn't come back because she did sell her soul. Now, I know technically your soul belongs to the Most High, but they know that they must worship Satan to achieve that fame And they're willing to worship Satan. But what happens is Satan manifests himself as an angel of light, and they think they're actually worshiping God. Because Satan is trying to get people to believe that the Most High is evil, and he's really God, the God of this world, and he is the God of this world. And getting them to bow down before him as he took Christ to the mountaintop and said, if you'll bow down before me, I'll give you all this. These people that are made stars have been made to worship Satan in order to gain the prestige that they have. All of your favorite stars, from Denzel to your top singers like Whitney we lost. And when they try to pull out, they might get it right. But Satan and then music execs, all of them, they're coming to try and destroy him and kill him, cause him to be a falling star. I can't really get into the selling soul thing, but I will as it pertains to cloning. It's real. Allowing them to utilize your soul while you're sleeping, it's real. Some of the technologies that are in the earth that you aren't aware of, these things are real. But it cannot happen unless you give them permission. And these people have given them permission for fame. Let me get back to my topic of rejoicing. Let me read Deuteronomy 16 and 14 first. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite and the stranger. That's that other nation that was with us. The fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. It is saying that thou were to rejoice. Let me read verse 13 before that. Thou shalt observe the feast of tabernacles 7 days. And after that, thou hast gathered in the corn and the wine, and thou shalt rejoice 7 days. Now, this was talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, but that was a time when people were supposed to rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. That was dance, and sing, and rejoice. And we can't get rid of that. We must keep that amongst Israel. That is what has brought us through as a people ever since slavery, when we come together and rejoice. We got to come back into our camps, and we got to rejoice. We got to have our time of music. Everybody don't have to have a rap label. And talking about I'm doing Christian rap to make it seem like you hard, you dropping knowledge. You know, everybody wants to be the new gangster, which is I got knowledge. And I know the truth and I woke up. After you wake up, I'm saying, listen to me closely. Waking up is not enough. Consciousness and all that, that's not enough. Dying out to yourself completely and having a relationship with the Most High and separating yourself from the world. It's the ultimate goal, the end game. To the point where you're like Enoch, who walked with the Most High until he was no more. Like Methuselah, like Moses, like David. God said, had the apple of my eye, even with his mistakes, he'd get it right. Nothing meant more to him than the Most High. I could go on and on with our examples. Are you one of the ones that can stand like this and be like this in this hour? Are you one that was sent from heaven as an angel to be in this fight but have lost your way down here? There are scriptures for that. They're in the book of Daniel. There are men sent here for the fight, for the battle, that will be the ones that will be sealed. But don't lose your way. Wake up to the call that's inside of you. Rejoice in the Most High. Not at the club. Not to Rick Ross and Drake with some Ciroc in your hand. And an e-cigarette and a blunt and a THC e-cigarette in the other hand. And fornication on your mind. Nah, that's not what's up. Having things done right. Having your wife, your family, doing the best you could do in this life and loving the Most High with your whole heart and keeping the faith and having the patience, as we talked about in the show that was cut off, having the patience of waiting for his return through keeping the commandments. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to keep you going. This day, the Sabbath, the Shabbat, this is here to keep you going. We are a community of people, and we have to learn how to rejoice. Pray for one another. Accept the fact that we have elders. We do. I know there's elders on these shows, YouTube, that are turning you off, pissing you off. You wonder if they're real, infiltrated. But
It says call for the elders. It's in the word. Don't try to erase it. Fivefold calling. Pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists. It's in the word. It's not negated. It's in the word. And we have people called to those ministries. And they are men, not women. Fall back, women, into your rightful place and support those brothers that are trying to do this.
Something in the book of Exodus, I was going to go into another lesson about marriage, married to other nations, but I'm going to stick with this. I want to look in the book of Exodus 30th as we talk about these temples, modern times. I think this leads me to something else, because we don't actually have our places, you know, fellowships, gatherings, so we're probably not doing things the right way as it pertains to tithing and giving. I know that tithing in the Bible to the Levites and priests was the food and the crops that we were to give to them so that we could sustain them as they minister to us. But as you read Exodus 30 and 11 through 16, you find out that there was an upkeeping of our tabernacles and synagogues that needed to be done. And it took money to keep up those places. And I think that's still indicative of today. And I didn't believe that until I began to read this. So I want to share this. Let me read this first. Exodus 30 and 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. They were being told to number the children of Israel, and after they numbered them, the scripture says that every man was to give some money for his soul so that there would be no plague upon him. I was marveled at that. Let's go on to read more. In other words, that the giving was protection from sickness. You'll find a lot of that in Isaiah, I believe, 58, as it talks about real fasting and being able to call upon the Most High is blessing and giving to others. That's another form of healing, by giving. Verse 13, this they shall give everyone that passeth among them that have been numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. A half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Now, a shekel was about 25 cents of what our dollar is today. But let me tell you this, a shekel from those times today, if you actually found a shekel, would be worth $500. A real shekel is $500. You could take it to a coin shop and get $500. And you think about that today, 500 goes pretty far. So you try and do the math in your head that it was 25 cents. It's actually equal to 25 cents today. But back then, that would have meant a whole lot more than what we consider to be nothing as far as 25 cents today. But to think about the fact that the worth of a shekel in today's times, if its value is $500. And so that meant it went a long way. And you, every man, and there were the children of Israel numbered in the millions. Over 2 million. And so if every man had to give that 25 cents, and this was to upkeep the tabernacle, things had to be purchased within the town to upkeep the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was. And we should have places where we assemble together to keep the feast, the festivals. The Sabbath is a day of congregating. We're to come together and have an assembly. So there's things that we're trying to get away from because we don't want to be like the Christian church, quote unquote, but there's things that we need to bring together again as the people who are waking up and understand that we must have our congregations and assemblies that don't follow after 501c3 or this world, but we take care of each other and that have the Acts, the second chapter paradigm within them. That
teach us how to take care of community. As a matter of fact, this particular law falls up under the category of how we were to treat each other within the community. And we must develop our communities by bringing back these churches that preach the real gospel, which is the commandments and the real truth. And in doing so, there is a giving. And in giving, it keeps you in good standing with the higher. So we don't negate giving. And we don't push away the tithing. It's a part of what's supposed to take place. Let me read the 14th verse. And everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. This was the children of Israel. This is Torah. The rich shall not give more. Let you know that some people have more than others. And the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, what I was saying to myself is, give unto the Lord. Now, how do you give unto the Lord and know that you're giving unto the Lord? Now, let me go back real quick. It says, this is to make an atonement for your souls. Now, Christ is our ultimate atonement. He shed his blood. But this is what they did to make an atonement. This is still necessary to show your gratitude for the atonement that has been made and you should give to the temple. And understand that if we follow these principles, as he said, that this is also for your healing and for your health. And like I said, go to Isaiah. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right chapter. Isaiah, the 58th chapter, where it talks about genuine fasting. It actually tells you what the fast of the Most High is, which is to take care of those that are less fortunate. And that's what your giving should go towards. And when we assemble, that's what we should be assembling for. Now, I'm not sitting up here saying, we're going to read too. I don't believe in you giving money to bless the pastor, pay for the janitor, and pay for the musician. Nah. This is giving to the temple so that it might give back to the people and keep the tabernacle where it should be so that we have a place to come together. Because where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. Although he does live inside of our bodies. And he inhabits the praises of his people. So when it says praises, it's not singular. And it says his people. So there is a coming together and gathering that must be done during the festivals and feasts when we rejoice. This is so different for most of us, but it has to be established in the earth. Verse 16, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial. Now listen to this. This is for us today. That it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord. To make an atonement for your souls. So every time we assemble and we give to keep the temple going, it's a memorial for the children of Israel. That means the scattered sheep in the four corners of the earth today and our forefathers, the children of Israel, that came up out of Egypt. When we follow this principle, it is a memorial unto the children of Israel. So brothers and sisters, especially of you that those of you who call yourself leaders to be called and to be pastors after his own heart, we must establish a place for people to come and fellowship and congregate and keep these feasts and festivals and worship on the real day. As people start coming up out of these pagan churches, they're going to need another place to go because that's their mindset. And as they get there, we'll begin to teach them the truth. What name to really call on, what days not to keep, to come away from paganism, false holidays, and to prepare themselves for what's coming into this world, because these 501c3 churches are going to lead our people straight into the internment camps and into being chipped. I adjure you, I'm commanding you, I'm talking to you, spread this message, that we must establish our tabernacles and our fit places of worship and start bringing out the truth, letting them know who we really are and bringing our people into fellowship, and this money must be a memorial. It must go towards the keeping of the temple, and it must also go to helping the widows, the sick, and the less fortunate, and taking care of our community, not the pastor and for his car and his house and his bling. And I say it like that because I rebuke anyone else that even tries to do it in the name of Ahiah. This is what we shall do. This is what we're coming to as we begin to take care of ourselves, and that's the hour that we're living in. I am not going to go into the other aspect of the lesson. I'm sorry that everything got broken up today, but I appreciate you for bearing and sticking with me and having listened. And as I always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. So let's just keep it going and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, your Shabbat. I'll keep you posted as to what we're doing out here in this area. Maybe you can keep me posted as to what you're doing. I'll be posting an email address, P.O. box as well, where we can contact and dialogue as the Most High prepares us for his soon return. Keep the faith. Be patient. It won't be much longer now. It won't be much longer. Prophecies being fulfilled. This earth and world is ramping up. They're trying to put fear in your face. They want you to see what they're doing. There's Satanism and everything. But I just analyze it. I'm analyzing their agenda because it lets me know that my Messiah is drawing closer and what I must do to be ready. There's no more time for playing. Come out from amongst her. Come out of your sins. Come out of your fornication and your adultery. Stop getting high. Stand fast. Take care of your family. Prepare your people. Cry out in the wilderness. Do the work of a disciple. Let's do it. Go into the churches and preach the truth. Tell them what time it is to stop worshiping on Sundays. You know, if you're going to do something on Sunday, let it be church administration day, because we can't raise money on the Shabbat. You know, we're not to do that. You know, if you want to give and if you want to do right on the Sabbath, then go ahead and give. But we don't administer, and we're not, it's not about money on the Sabbath. It's about the Most High. But, you know, on Sundays in the New Testament, we saw that they went from house to house gathering money to take care of the community. So, you know, Sister So-and-so, Brother So-and-so might need some new shoes or a chicken or pay the light bill just to be able to make it a little bit further. These are things that we do, but it also should be a daily principle for your health and for your welfare, as Isaiah 58 tells us. So, brothers and sisters, I sign out with much love. Until next time, Shabbat Shalom.
50